go up here. I feel more comfortable up here. Yes, that's better. So, good morning. I just want to thank everyone. And before I share a little bit about what God did, I want to share a scripture that God has placed on my heart in regards to, I've been thinking a lot about Tyler and Wayne and Nate and Scott in Iraq, as I'm sure many of you have. But yesterday, I felt like God put a word on my heart for them. And I know probably maybe if you're like me, you've maybe wrestled a little bit with, is it okay to go into a dangerous situation? You know, what do Christians do in situations like that? Do we go? Do we not go? So I think really in Scripture, it can go either way. Pastor and I talked about that yesterday on the phone, that really, if you look at Scripture, Paul, sometimes he fled and sometimes he went right into the face of danger. He did both. So really, I think it's based on how the Holy Spirit's leading you. And if God leads you to not go, there's nothing wrong in that. Praise God. But if God leads you to go, then and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, then I think as the body of Christ, we're to support and come behind and pray and be an encouragement to them. So that's what I think is biblical. But the scripture that God placed on my heart as I've been wrestling with this whole subject and praying about it for them is from Acts 20, and it's verse 17, and this is Paul. It says, now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church to come to him. Acts 20, verse 17, if you want to look at it. It's not on the screen, but I'll read it. But if you want to look at it, it's a few verses here. So he calls the elders. They came to him, and he said, verse 18, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. So there's the opposition, plots from the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Holy Spirit. So that's biblical. Is Paul had to go into opposition because he was constrained by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what would happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. That's pretty bold, isn't it? He knows going that he's going to face imprisonment and afflictions, and he goes. Verse 24, but I do not account my life of any value. That's what's been really challenging me these past few days, is I've had to really search my own heart and say, if God was calling me to Iraq, would I go? What do I account the value of my life? Do I hold the things of this world more than I hold to Christ and his call on my life and his will for my life? That's the challenge, I think, that this situation stares all of us in the face. Is all of us, you know, what if it was me? What would I do? You know, if I felt the Holy Spirit was calling me to go. I do not account my life as any value nor as precious to myself. And this is really the verse that God really laid on my heart. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And if there's anything I kind of feel more and more in my life as the years tick away, is I just want to finish my course that God has given me. I just want to stand before our King on that day, fall at his feet, really. None of us will probably be standing, I don't think. We'll probably all be on our faces before the King of Kings. But to fall on our faces and to lay down our crown and just to say, you know, it was worth it, Jesus. And, you know, to enter into the joy of our Master, that's really all that matters in the end. And then 25, and now behold, I know that none of among you whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. He's saying he's going to die. 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of you all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So that's the scripture God challenged me with yesterday in the past couple days of with Iraq and praying for them. And then I was thinking this morning that through what I've seen in my life, you know, we heard the testimony of Tyler and the text that he sent, you know, people getting saved, and there's Iranian pastors that have come across the border. They've snuck across the border to come into northern Iraq to receive training and equipping. You know, we only see the news, but we don't see what God's doing in Iran. Iran, I won't go off on this, but I just watched a video. I think you saw it too, Pastor. The fastest growing Christian nation in the world is Iran today. There is an underground movement. They say the mosques in Iran are empty. It's the government. It's the heads that are terrorists and causing all this trouble. But underneath all of this are civilians who are sick and tired of this oppression, and they're tired of radical Islam because they see how empty and deceitful and wicked it is. And they're coming to Christ in droves, and many of them are being killed for it. Women, a lot of women being killed for it. So just be encouraged that even though we see this on the news, you know, what if Iran is the next sending missionary country of the world? Let's just be radical. Praise God for them going and doing God's work and equipping pastors and spreading the gospel. I mean, what a blessing we have as a church to send them. I mean, this is history in its making, I feel like. We can't see it, but in the heavens, the angels are rejoicing, and we get a part in that by sending them. Praise God. So that's, something the Lord put on my heart this morning when I was praying about this was the greater the opposition that I've seen in my life, the greater the opportunities to spread the gospel. That's truth. It's so true. The more you face opposition, the more powerful the Holy Spirit will move. I guarantee it. Pastor, you've seen it. Others of you have seen it at work maybe, or with family, or whatever. When there's opposition to the gospel, that's when seeds are planted deep into the heart, and that's really when revival breaks out, is the more opposition that happens. So I hope you're encouraged by that. So India was absolutely amazing. I had 6 or 7 days on the ground. I think I preached over 20 times in about 6 days. Indian style. Man, I couldn't sit down, and VJ was like, "We got to go. We got another. You got to preach." And we'd do a pastor's conference. I'd preach 3 messages in a day at the pastor's conference. I'd have 2 hours before the night outreach. And I'd lay down on the bed, and I'd had 2 hours to get ready for my evening message. And I just felt the Holy Spirit. I was so excited. I felt the Holy Spirit just be like, "Just rest, take a nap." And I'm like, "Lord, I gotta prepare. What am I gonna do, Pastor? You know how it is. If you're a preacher, it's like, I mean, your sermon is your weapon. I mean, you gotta have your knife sharp." And I'm like, "Lord, what am I? I can't sleep right now. Just rest." And it took faith. The whole thing was just faith. I gotta trust God. I gotta trust Him when I'm weak. And, you know, we get in the car and we go to the night outreach, and it's 15 minutes before I'm to step up to preach, and I still don't have an outline or a message, and I'm just like, "Okay, Lord, I have no energy. I'm spent." And, you know, about literally 5 minutes, 10 minutes before I'm going to go speak, the Lord places a word on my heart. I go to it, and the Lord gives me a message. I stand up. I've got no energy, no, none of this or that. I just preach the word, preach the gospel. And the message with the Holy Spirit does the work. And I just want to encourage you with that. It's not us. In our weakness, His strength is made perfect. Some of those nights were the most powerful nights, people would tell me, that God used you tonight. And I felt like nothing. And you know, you talk about face planting in the snow and how it's humbling. You know, that's how it is. It's humbling going to India. I'm humbled. I'm just like, I got nothing. But God does it. and he always comes through. And I just want to encourage you in your life is, you know, you may feel weak. You may feel like you don't have the words to say the gospel, or you don't know what to do in a situation. But in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. And he wants to use us in our weakness so that he gets the glory and not us. So that was one thing that God really taught me in my weakness is his strength as with that. We had a pastor's conference. Thank you for your support. This church really came through at the 11th hour. I mean, it was like, oh, man. I just said, Dustin, we just need to pray. And we prayed, and First Baptist came through financially. So thank you. I want to thank you all so much for your help. And the fruit that comes from this church. Vijay is our first indigenous missionary of this church. Vijay Sastry, many of you know him. But he's doing an amazing work over there. He's training. He has a one-year training program. We spoke to about 100 pastors. We had four days of pastors' conferences. And some of the fruit that came from that, I really felt, and Vijay said too, the Holy Spirit came in a special way. One pastor was so discouraged, he was about to leave ministry. I preached on 1 Timothy chapter 1 on your calling to these pastors and how your calling strengthens you in the midst of opposition. And he was facing a lot of opposition, a lot of persecution, and as many of them are. And he just recommitted his life to the ministry. He was going to leave the ministry. So it was like God was doing things. God was bearing fruit that, you know, was just like, it was, Vijay and I both said, something is happening in India. And I believe it's, you know, God wants to bless these pastors because they face great opposition. Vijay's doing really well, just to give you an update on Vijay. So he has his son now is going to be 2 years in June, Suvinay. And he's just quite the little guy running around India and just a little cutie. And then Abigail, his wife, and she's pregnant. She's due with their second child in February. So he's a busy man. He's juggling family and ministry, but he's doing really well, and he really appreciates all your prayers. They have about 14 staff members, and they're doing really well just spreading the gospel. And then the last part that we did on the trip, we had the pastor's conference, evening outreaches. We did widows. We had widow support. We fed widows. And then, of course, we did our orphan ministry. We have about 28 orphans that are there, and they're doing well. We give them schooling. We give them food. And, of course, we give them Jesus. And they all live at Vijay's compound, so they're all doing really well. And then the last part was the outreaches. So for the past 11 years now, I've been going to India, and my calling as an evangelist, I feel, is two things, is to strengthen the churches, the indigenous churches in hard areas, Iran, Iraq. I pray I could go one day, but, you know, to go to areas where it's more marginalized, Christianity is more marginalized, persecution, pastors need encouragement, they need equipping. That's really the burden in my heart. I love being with poor, persecuted indigenous pastors. There's just something about it that makes my heart just leap. I cry. Pastor, you cry when you're with them. It's so humbling to be with them. It really encourages my faith as an American, as a Westerner, to live radical for Jesus, because they are just living really, really for the Lord, and it really encourages you. In the midst of their hardship, they won't stop. So that's a part of my calling. But then the second part of my calling is to go out and preach the gospel to people, one-on-one, to the masses, however God would lead. Whatever opportunity God would give me, I pray I'd have the boldness and strength to walk through that door. So 11 years we've been preaching the gospel throughout India, and about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, the police, federal government, they basically shut down all of our evangelism work. They would send... Basically, FBI, equivalent to our FBI, would come and monitor all of my activity. Everywhere we went, we would see them. They'd be right there. And so, you know, we had to stop our large outreaches, and we had to go pretty much underground, undercover. We'd do small villages. We'd come in. We'd hit villages. We'd give Bibles out. Nate and others would buy Bibles. We'd buy thousands of Bibles. We'd go into villages, 200-300 people in the village, a lot of Hindus, and we'd bombard that village with Bibles. We'd hold an evening outreach, and then we'd take one of our church planters that VJ's training, and we'd plant a church. Hallelujah. It's glorious. It's like, come on, this is the book of Acts. It's amazing, you know, even doing that, but we had to be very, you know, we would travel like with curtains in the van, and we'd never go out in public much, just jumping from place to place. So that's kind of how it was. For the past 3 years, because of the opposition, prior to that, we would have freedom in India. We could preach the gospel. I think, you know, 8,000, the one night you were there, Pastor, 8,000 Hindus and Christians would come to our outreaches, and we'd preach the gospel, give the invitation, see people saved, and then plant the church. Well, that all got shut down about 3 years ago, apart from the smaller villages. So this year, Vijay and I said, you know, we both prayed about it. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. So we planned a larger outreach and in his village. We did it in his village. We didn't know what would happen, who would come, if we would face opposition. We went into it and had complete peace from the Holy Spirit. Like I was sharing here, complete peace. God is with us. Don't worry. There's been other times I've been nervous. Complete peace. And that night, I think we had about 3,000 to 4,000 people come, and we preached the gospel openly, boldly, freely, and many responded to the gospel. And it's like, God's not done. God's not done in India. He's not done in Iran. He's not done in Bemidji. Amen? He's not done. God can do whatever he wants to do. And if he calls us to step into those things, then he will give us the strength and the boldness and the energy and the words to fulfill our ministry, to finish our course that we have from the Lord Jesus, which he says is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Isn't that beautiful? Testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So I want to encourage you, finish the course, no matter what it takes. God leads you to be bold and step out and do something. He'll open the doors for you. He'll do it. He'll give you the strength. God has a good plan for us. May the Lord bless you. I want to pray for us as we go. I think it's time to close. Lord, sorry, Pastor. Oh, there's your sermon. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you for God that you are with us. You told us, Matthew 28:18, go into all the nations and make disciples, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lord, thank you for your promises that are filled in Scripture, that God, when we step out for you to finish this race, to finish the course that you've placed on our life, that you are with us, that you go before us. Thank you for these brothers in Iran and Iraq, God. We pray for their safety and more, Lord. We pray for amazing fruit that would last for generations to come, that your Holy Spirit would just come upon them in a special way to anoint them, Lord, to encourage these Iranian pastors, these Iraqi pastors, and to see many people saved, churches planted. Would you please, Father, by your grace, for the sake of your glory, would you do this work through all of us, I ask, God, that you would use us in our weakness for the sake of your glory and your kingdom. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this church. Lord, I thank you for the influence that this church has had in my life. Lord, I know that with India that, Lord, I just felt while I was over there that I have a sending church, and it made me feel so good. It made me feel so blessed that I have a sending church. And I just thank you for everyone here, God. I thank you for their faithfulness to you, their desire to know you and to serve you. I just ask your blessing over them and their families, God. May you continue to use us among the nations for the sake of your kingdom and glory, we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Thank you, brother. Amen. I am so blessed.
Do you realize God had a word for you? It doesn't have to come through me. That's not why I'm blessed, but I'm just so blessed by the word. Thank you, brother. I am so thrilled that we have individuals, that God has brought these individuals to us, and they want to be part of our family. And we have the privilege of serving God alongside of them, aren't you? Man, give God the glory. There's one word that's universal when it comes to praising God, and I first learned this when I was in India. The word is hallelujah. Did you know that word is translated the same in every language around the world? Did you know that? I didn't know that. And over there in India, they say hallelujah every other word, don't they? But hallelujah is very contagious. Thank you, brother, for that blessed word. I said to him, I know we're going to be tight. I said, but you just follow the Spirit. See, that's the Spirit's leading this morning, wasn't it? Was your heart blessed like mine? Father, thank you again for the word that we've heard. I thank you for these brothers in Christ. I thank you for their families. Bless them, Lord. Continue to use them as they go out and fulfill the calling that you placed on their lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to sing right now. We're just going to be dismissed, if that's okay with you.